Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Murray.
I do have a giant safe.
The opening week of the college football playoff is upon us with Patrick Harris.
Sure is nice to pile on some old pancakes and syrup after a night of beer drinking, isn't it?
And Danny Murray.
Hell, man. My grandmother's quicker and tougher than you pansies. Of course, she's 6'3", 250. And 4'5", 40.
This is the firm of Harris and Murray. First round week of the college football playoff is brought to you by video only on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, two down, one to go here. The firm of Harris and Murray. We do this bad boy every single day from 10 to 1 p.m. Coming up after us, we'll send you over to Duck Insider. From 1 to 2, then we'll give you the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. And then, I think you know what I'm going to say is prime time from 3 to 7. Isaac and Suk, the best guys in the biz, they'll take you all the way home, finishing up 13 hours of live, local, continuous, regional sports talk radio.
Duck Insider, I hardly know her.
Ding. Ding. The fan text line, 503-864-6326, can hang out with us also on the YouTubes, 1051thefan.com as well. Getting your texts in on some people that I missed, so thank you. There's Joey Harrington, Marcus Mariota, one Heisman, Brock Huard, the Huards in general. And don't forget, Super Bowl MVP, Mark Rippon.
Mm.
You know how many Huskies are Super Bowl MVPs?
Mm.
Zero.
Well, I mean, if we really want to go way far back, we got your Dan Fouts, too.
Ooh, Dan Fouts, Oregon. Yep, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Malcolm Smith.
Malcolm Smith.
USC.
There you go.
Super Bowl MVP.
That's Super Bowl MVP.
There we go.
We're talking quarterbacks, Daniel.
I'm saying pack Super Bowl MVPs. Like, come on.
Coming up this hour, we'll get to some NBA Cup final action. There's a wide receiver causing massive problems for this NFL team, and they've decided to cut bait. And then closing arguments will send you on your way. But I wanted to sneak a little Blazer chatter in today, as it feels like the Blazers haven't played a game in like a week and a half. Are we in the All-Star break right now?
I think tomorrow will be their fourth game in 12 days.
Glorious.
The last 2 weeks, last weekend, this week, Sunday and Thursday.
Well, they were up until that point, they were playing games a little bit more than one every other day.
Right. Well, and this week it makes sense because you had the cup
semifinals
final and all that
stuff. We all circled this period as like, thank God.
I know, right around the holidays is a nice time, too.
Yeah, look, I'm tired covering the team. I can't imagine how they're feeling being this shorthanded, this beat up, the tax they've had to do, the traveling they've had to do. I mean, they haven't played at home basically at all in the last 6 weeks. So for them to actually start getting a couple of home games, like I think they play 7 of 9 at home going into the new year. And it's like, yeah, dog, you need that because you've been out on the road a ton. Like, and even when they've come home for 2 games.
Right.
So it's just bing, bing, and then back out again.
We were kind of having this conversation off the air yesterday. You were throwing some Denny Avdia stats at me, and you are one thing that I love about you, Danny, is that when you we were just talking about draft prospects and stuff like that from certain players. When you are 10 toes, you are 10 toes, and you have become firm 10 toes on Denny Avdia.
Yeah.
Just as the player he is, the style he creates, and what he adds to this team. And there's no doubt about it. What I love about Denny when I watch him is he's got a little old school basketball in him, in the sense of that boy, when he gets the ball, he sees the paint, he sees the hoop, and he says, that direction.
Yeah.
And he takes a drive. You were telling me some stats about Denny driving through the lane.
Yeah, so I'm doing my deep dive on Denny, and I was hoping to do it maybe when we were in Baltimore, finish some of it up, but it was just exhausted. So I decided to string it out a little bit, and I'm actually glad that I did because Denny's had a couple of clunker games, and I want to see how he rebounds out of that and see if that kind of starts to level out a little bit.
Side real quick to derail completely. Did he have some clunker games, or did other guys were other guys just able to step up?
No, he had a couple subpar
Pelicans
shooting games.
It was a rough game all around.
But Denny's now on the season averaging 26-7-6. And he's shooting 47-38-81.
And 2 weeks ago he was 27-7-7.
Yeah. So, and he's played, this is through what, 26 games? Yeah, 26 games.
10-16 on the season.
Yep, and he's appeared
in the Western Conference. Thank you for paying attention once again
to
my award-winning sports updates.
He's about the only guy that's played every game. That's what I mean. Like,
I'm just goofing.
I going through this, he might be the only one. Holy crap, he actually might be. Just to kind of think about that off the top of my head. I know he was. I know they were close to him missing a game. But I've been diving into this with Denny and just kind of getting a better understanding of how teams are guarding him. And, you know, I've got access to Second Spectrum / Genius IQ, which is the new name for it. So with all the tracking data. And I wanted to see how Denny was doing in and around the paint. And first of all, when you talk about shots attempted in the paint at the rim, Denny is 11th in the NBA. And he is slightly above average of expected shot quality. And so he's basically the shots that he's taking and making are about what you would expect. For comparison's sake, hold on, I need to adjust here. I'm sorry. Those are heavily contested shots. These are not the wide open shots. So he actually does pretty well on those. But when you take a look at this, you start looking at like, not Giannis, Victor Wembanyama, he's like 35% above expectation. Just to kind of.
Damn cool.
Yeah. He is an absolute freak of freaks in that regard. So Denny takes a metric crap ton of shots at the rim that are contested, and his results are about what you would expect, which
should be some more free throw attempts. I'll say that out loud.
Yeah, he had a couple games there where he got the crap beaten out of him and was not getting to the line. It's kind of started to correct itself.
Is Denny a superstar now? The refs have decided that this guy can get these calls.
They kind of put him in the corner for a couple of games, and they were like, "Yeah, no, this guy is getting hit." And what teams do is they submit video of like, "Hey, dog."
Yeah, check it out, because that's the perception. I mean, the perception versus the stats for him kind of line up. You know, when you tell me you're about to give me a defense, did you give me the defensive coverage?
That's what I was just getting ready to go to.
Like when you tell me that. That is what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that the referees are being told from the team. I mean, all people are going to stick up for their guys, but I'm glad referees are seeing that. Because when I watch the game, my eyeballs tell me, is there anybody in this league that's getting slapped around like that more?
So everybody knows that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the guy when it comes to drives. Last year, he led the NBA in drives.
He's so good.
Okay. Denny is blowing him out of the water. Denny Avdia is blowing SGA out of the water when it comes to drives overall and drives, more importantly, with help defenders present. I asked you to kind of guess. SGA has 331 drives this year with help defenders present. That accounts for about 19 per 100 possessions, right? Denny has 402.
That's a large gap.
That is the gap between 1 and 2, and there's no gap anywhere down this list. Okay, so we're talking about, 71 drives? That's the same difference between SGA at 2 and Russell Westbrook at 14.
Oof.
Okay, that's the kind of gap you're looking at. So SGA is otherworldly as a finisher. His points per director at 1.293. That's a basically 130 points per 100 possessions.
And I asked you, why is it that his is so much lower when it comes to the comparison between Denny?
And this is, it's SGA is an otherworldly finisher. Otherworldly in the paint, otherworldly creator on the drive.
Due to his footwork.
It's his footwork and his hands. His shot making in the in-between, not mid-range, the mid-paint, which is one of the tougher places to score in the NBA. But it's also, if you know how to use your footwork to decelerate and create that separation, the difference between Denny being great this year and being truly transcendent, he's starting to figure it out a little bit. Denny doesn't have a mid-range shot. That's not something he has. He also typically goes all the way to the rim.
Well, that is his mid-range shot now. He's making up for it by going to the rim, and that's why when I watch him, I'm just like, Oh, Denny's got the ball. He's going in the paint.
But the ability to create space and separation 2 feet, three feet from the rim, where SGA just stops on a dime and just hits that the floater.
Defender goes backwards because they can't.
And you just have all that, or you draw free throws. Like, that is the evolution that, like, when you're looking at Denny's game, we're no longer talking about big changes in his game. It's fine tweaks that up percentages, up efficiencies.
He's figured out what's working.
Yes. And for Denny, though, Denny's in the 72nd percentile when you're talking about points per direct drive. So not only is he number one in total, he's up in the basically the upper quartile as far as like what you're talking about. So if you're getting a ton and you're getting high efficiency, that's when you're talking about great players, it's their ability to do it a lot, to do it consistently, and do it at a high level of efficiency. Because the guys in this list, when you're talking about drives with help, again, this is with help defenders present. That means guys are loaded up to take it away because they know what you want.
Expecting you, yeah.
Denny's 1, SGA 2, Cade Cunningham 3, James Harden 4, Jaylen Brown 5. That is the company that Denny Avdija is keeping.
There's an NBA champion in there in Jaylen Brown. There's a Hall of Famer in there in James Harden. There's my pick to win the MVP next year.
There's an MVP and NBA champion in SGA.
In Cade Cunningham, there's SGA too, and then there's Denny.
So when I've been talking about he's putting up Jason Tatum-like numbers and the idea of him, like, you know, some people said he's not a number two, he's a number three, or he's like, no. Denny Avdija right now, through 26 games, he is a dyed-in-the-wool good number one, incredible number two. I was talking to Sprague about this. I go, if Denny Avdija is the second best player on your team, you are a contender.
Without a doubt.
That is how good he is right now.
Well, who's going to be the number one?
And that's the
question.
Or can they get another guy as good as Denny?
And have them play number one together. Real quick, because we're up against it. Do you know who leads the association in offensive rebounds?
I would imagine Victor would probably be there. Walker Kessler would be there, but they've both been dinged up. So it's probably Donovan Clingan.
It is Donovan Clingan at 100 in 22 games and 552 minutes played. Number two is Rudy Gobert at 94, so six less, which is a game swing, but he's played 26 games as opposed to 22 games and 800 minutes compared to 550.
I mean,
it sometimes doesn't look like it on the court. This is the opposite of the Denny thing. It sometimes doesn't look like it on the court, but Donovan's progression as a rebounder and as a dude hanging down there, I think, is really starting to grow. You know me. I said at the beginning of the season, he's my guy that I'm watching this year, that I want to see the big jump from him.
DC, coming into the league, the two things I knew he was going to be able to do, protect the rim, protect the paint as a shot blocker, a rim deterrent guy, and be an offensive rebounder. He is one of, if not the best offensive rebounder in the league. Walker Kessler, before he went down, he only played five games, was leading the league at 4.6. Donovan is at 4.5. I mean, you look at percentages, where Donovan needs to get better is being better on the defensive glass.
That's what I was just about to say. You can't be that great on the offensive glass and be MIA on the defensive glass.
He's not
glass.
MIA. He's just not transcendent. MIA.
Yes, exactly. And I would like to see that part
or
of his game evolve.
Be great. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the best defensive rebounder in the league, but be great. But his superpower is the offensive glass. 4.5 offensive rebounds per game between him, Mitchell Robinson, and Steven Adams.
That's he's beautiful. Great at grabbing balls from one end.
Mm.
That's beautiful.
I like that.
I love Donovan Clingan. Maybe I'll get a jersey.
And he's just
PDX carpet jersey.
He's super close to averaging the double-double now. He's up to 9.7 points per game.
All right, we'll keep Blazer chatter going throughout the week, throughout every day, because that's what we do here on Portland Sports Leader. When we come back, the NBA Cup Final was last night. As the Knicks take down the San Antonio Spurs, we'll have a little bit of chatter on that. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Coming up next, well, this NFL team's got a wide receiver issue, and maybe the wide receiver has a bigger issue as he was told to go home. You go bye-bye. So we'll get to that in about 15 minutes, finish up the show. But sticking in the association, the NBA Cup was last night as the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 124-113. And I'll tell you what, there was a little moment there in this game, because there's a lot more I'd rather talk about than the actual basketball itself, that I thought San Antonio was going to make this a game. But boy, the Knicks just kind of dominated this game from start to finish. OG Anunoby had a fantastic night, 10 of 17 from the field, 50% from three-point, finished with 28 points. Brunson had a nice stat line until you look at his percentages, which were a little rough. But boy, that Knicks team offensively can be pretty fun to watch. You know, they're a go-go-go kind of team, and they're led by Jalen Brunson, who is not my kind of guy that I like to watch play, but he is the heart and soul of that team.
Yeah, the Spurs last night, not exactly putting on a stellar shooting display. They were able to hit some threes at least to keep it there, but defensively they just didn't have it going, and Wemby was out there again coming off the bench. They bumped his minutes up from 21 to 25. They're going to be careful with him. Both him and Dylan Harper were really solid last night, but Steph Castle couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Neither could Devin Vassell, De'Aaron Fox. He just kind of, you look at that and you go, yeah, that's not really going to get it done. Now, they did do the thing where they put seven guys into double figures, but nobody was super efficient outside of Harper and Luke Kornet. And, you know.
And Wemby dealing with the death of his grandmother is what we found out after the game. Yeah. Can kind of tell you what's up in that.
And he still showed up.
He did. He did. And I think Wemby is building himself a very good reputation in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the media and with the fans mostly, and I don't know if he wants to be the face of the league, but there's
I think he does.
There's an opportunity that he could, because when you hear him talk about like rivalries with Oklahoma City Thunder, he's just like, no, they're the champs. They're in a league of their own. And he kind of defers a lot. He's kind of like, we ain't done squat here yet. Let us keep working. We'll keep grinding and I'll keep getting better. And I think he's got a very soft, approachable kind of image going right now, and not in a like Russ Wilson kind of fake way,
yeah,
but in a true, genuine. I mean, how old is he?
22.
Yeah, dude, he's got a long way to go in this. And he, you know, he's missed time.
He's 21. So he'll be 22 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's missed time. He's got a lot to learn from this league too, despite coming out to a rip roaring start.
Yeah, he's just averaging 26, 13, and 4.
Yeah, I think I saw a lot of metrics that, like, defensively, this Spurs team is one of the best teams in the NBA, and offensively, the New York Knicks are one of the best teams offensively in the NBA. And that's always a fun thing to match up with. Now, the NBA can be a different spot, because if San Antonio can play their defense but they can't shoot, you'll lose that game. Mm. NBA's not always defense wins championships. You got to be able to play some defense.
You have to be a top 10 defense, really. There's only been like two teams in the last 25 years that have operated outside of that, and one of those was the Warriors, because they jerked around in the first half of the season. Their defensive rating sucked. But if you're not a top 10 defense, you're not going to win a title.
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically the gist of it. But this Knicks team, I got a lot of friends that cover the Knicks, both in like the you know, the greater big media for the Athletic and New York Post and all that kind of stuff, but also guys at the what were like fan blogs that have taken off and become big sources of information and content for the Knicks, and you know, they'll bitch and moan about certain guys, and it's New York sports, so it has element to it, and I love those guys. They certainly believe in this team. And they think this team is special, and it's all those things, and the coaching changes, you know, moving on from Tibbs was needed. But I think there's probably some James Franklin-esque type stuff there. But at the same time, you know, there's something about this Knicks team that I just don't wholly trust.
Dude, I am right there with you.
And I know what it is. It's Cat.
It's Cat. It's 100% Cat. And the fact that there's been talks around Cat being moved to try to get that piece, whether it's a Giannis conversation or a whatever conversation. But the reality is that Cat makes too much money for what he produces. He's just
good.
He's very good.
He's very good.
In fact, outside of OG, on this team, it's a lot of players that are good players, but not quite my jam. I mean, there's some Josh Hart that I really love, especially him and Brunson's relationship and their attitude with the media is a really fun story to watch. But like Jalen Brunson, not quite my guy. Mikal Bridges, not quite my guy. Karl Anthony Towns, not really into it. There's just a lot of dudes that play basketball in a way that I don't love. And so it's easy for me to kind of just,
And what's funny is about the game last night and the Knicks, you know, pulling off this victory in the Cup Championship. Number one, nerds, put up the banner.
Yeah, what's with that? Championship or bust in New York because we win so many championships?
Exactly. Also, the Lakers hung one up, and so you can hang one up too.
Did the Bucks hang one?
Yeah.
There you go.
So, and again, who's
what is this, Notre Dame?
Who's won titles recently? Are the Bucks and Lakers in there in the list? Yes.
Yes, they are.
Okay. So, hang it up.
Sorry. Hard disagree.
Nerd. On hanging the banner?
Yeah.
Why?
For the NBA Cup?
Who cares?
It's regular season games, and it doesn't mean squat. It's like, look, the Blazers get a bunch of crap for hanging a Pacific Division winner banner. To me, this is no different than hanging a division winner banner.
See, I understand the division banner, but what I would counter with is if you're Adam Silver, which you could use all the good publicity you can get right now.
Well, of course, if you're Adam Silver, you want that team to hang that banner.
Because you're trying to push this thing. Yeah. You're trying to push this NBA Cup. I mean, do I care yet? No.
But more, I will. More people are caring.
But I will say, I watched the game last night. I think it was very helpful that I was on Amazon, and we talked last night that they cover the game better than anybody nationally. So that was a big benefit for me. But I did care because I could tell that Jalen Brunson really gave an S last night and really, really wanted to win that thing.
They all did.
Nobody was happier at the end of the game than Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. Now, I would counter because this NBA Cup reeks so much of the FA Cup in England with their soccer. And this isn't a soccer segment. What I would do with the NBA Cup, honestly, is I would stretch it over the season and not finish it up here before Christmas.
Well, you know, what they're trying to do is make this part of the season more impactful.
I understand, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I mean, I'd argue it already is.
Well, and that's the thing, because the narrative is always the NBA season doesn't start until Christmas. And so they're trying to push that up a little sooner.
And what's interesting about that game last night is, you know, we talked about, you know, whether it's Brunson or Bridges or Hart or OG or Cat. What swung that game last night was Tyler Kolek and Jordan Clarkson.
It really was. And you could tell after the game, they were all over Kolek.
Yeah.
They were like, you're the dude. You know why we're here.
When you play 20 minutes and you get 14 points, you go 5-9, you knock down some threes, you grab five boards, you get five assists. Like, Kolek is another one of those guys, another Marquette guy, shockingly. Yeah, it turns out a good program that puts a lot of really good players in the NBA. But you just kind of go down the list and, like, that's because the Knicks are not a very deep team.
No, that was their biggest problem in the playoffs last year.
And having those guys, because you look at Mitchell Robinson, who can be really impactful.
He can.
18 minutes, 15 rebounds. 10 offensive rebounds. 10 of them things. But the thing is, they don't really have wing depth because they're starting Josh Hart and they're starting Mikal Bridges and they're starting OG Anunoby.
And they need to start Josh Hart for defensive reasons.
Because you have to cover up for Jalen.
Yep.
Because Jalen's so small, you have to be bigger basically everywhere else. And Josh Hart, while being 6'5", is a 6'5" power forward.
He really is.
He's strong as hell.
He plays bigger than he looks.
He can cover 1 through 4. And it's you know, and then Bridges is 6'8", OG 6'8", Cat 7 foot, but they can go bigger and put Mitch Rob on the floor with Cat at the four, but that also creates some problems because then you're putting Cat maybe on a stretch four, Pascal Siakam type who can just put you in hell, as we saw in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they can get this kind of help, you know, and that's what I watching the Knicks and kind of what they do or don't do at the trade deadline, because they were hoping Gershon Yabusele would be a little bit more for them. I could see them moving him or trying to make one more move to try to get another wing, big wing, hybrid forward type.
Antetokounmpo?
I mean, not Giannis. Because if you're the Bucks,
there's nobody on this team I want.
The package.
Well, the people I want, you're not going to give me.
Well, I mean, even then, like, what are you going to do with them?
Yeah.
They're ancillary pieces. They're not like.
It does feel like these players only work well together with these players.
That's the thing. So it's like they're secondary players. They're not primary players. Now, OG had himself a hell of a night last night.
Great night. He was the best player on the floor.
But I do wonder what this means for the Knicks as far as like going forward. Does it springboard them at all? Is this kind of a like, no, they're actually legitimate. Like we've talked about this and doesn't matter.
East is wide open too.
But also, every one of these teams we've seen do this. The Bucks, the Pacers, the Lakers. Now, the Lakers went sideways because of injuries, and then they make the Luka trade and all those things. The Lakers are quietly one of the best teams in the Western Conference right now. Mm-hmm. As much as we don't want to talk about it or admit it.
I caught that the other day, and I went, oh no.
They're a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
Now, they again, no depth.
No depth, but Reeves is an all-world basketball player right now.
Alongside Luka and LeBron.
Yeah, who already are.
So you just kind of take a look at what and I know what Jeff just said as far as like it not mattering or any of those things. It seems to be a pretty strong indicator so far because it propelled the Pacers. It propelled the Bucks. It propelled the Lakers. Like, it's one of those things, and it's not just I think it has the opportunity to propel the Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's kind of doing because it's putting a little bit of a crunch and a little bit more pressure on some games in a period of the season where there's not a ton of that.
Yeah, and I hope that works for him because, you know, outside of what we do for a living, when I harken back to my previous years of not doing this job, it's hard to get me in. But I was in last night. I was in last night. And if it's just one game, it'll be one game. Last note I'll say on that is that is an exit only. And if you put your fingers in that area, you might get hit in the face.
I don't believe you.
At least I will get a cock back.
We'll need that. We'll do that.
Yikes.
Should I have pressed a button?
Let's get out of here. Okay. That's Jeff Rust with sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Oh, that's me here. My name is Patrick Harris. That's Danny Meringue to my left. This is The Firm. 20 minutes away. 20 minutes away from getting away from you weirdos.
I'm not the weirdo.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
That was all you, Doug.
I suppose that's all me. Closing arguments coming up next to send you on your way. I've had this on the show sheet to get to, and we just haven't had the chance in a while. But there's a wide receiver causing problems again. And I find it fascinating because this player is massively talented, had a little bit of injury concerns, but then held out and basically wanted the bag. They gave him the bag, and then he said, just kidding, I don't want to do that at all. I'm speaking about Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver who is currently on the roster of the San Francisco 49ers. Mm. We'll see how long. This is a quote that Kyle Shanahan said on Ayuk and his season, how it's basically ended, and they've placed him on the reserved left squad list, and there are conversations about voiding his contract and just getting out of it altogether. He said this quote, "We haven't seen him in forever, so that's the decision they make. It's pretty simple for me. I haven't seen him in a month. Same with our team. It hasn't been an issue with our team at all. We've kind of been plugging away and no big deal. It's just something we've been used to for a while." Twofold. Before we get into Ayuk himself, the Niners are quietly still in the running to win the NFC West, which would good chance give you the number one seed in the playoffs. And nobody's talking about the San Francisco 49ers. More importantly, nobody is talking about how great of a coaching job Kyle Shanahan's done this year with, again, all the injuries, all this noise, and he's still making it happen. He had Mac Jones, for crying out loud, and made him look like he's going to go get a deal for, like, the Miami Dolphins next year. I've been so impressed with him this year.
Make it make sense.
And what they've done. I don't know how to make it make sense other than I just think he's a damn good coach. The second side of it is Brandon Ayuk. I said it. I don't get it. You held out. You wanted the bag. Then they gave you the bag and you can't go to work?
Which is weird because in the NFL, the bag disappears.
Yeah.
Like that. It ain't guaranteed. And I've heard some people say, like, well, you know, it just takes one team. And you're right. But do you think that you, if you this deal gets basically voided because he said that he's not going to challenge it, and the NFLPA is kind of pissed about it.
And that's super weird, too. He's just like, oh, yeah, I don't go. Yeah, I don't care.
But you think you're just going to make that money back? This reeks. It reeks of the same kind of situation around Ja Morant in the sense of the wrong people are in your ear. They're gassing you up, and they're not giving you the real. Look, I know I do this a lot, but I'm going to come back local with Dame. Dame, throughout his entire career, keeps his professional circle very small. And he only lets people speak into it from people that he trusts. Mm-hmm. And those people that he trusts tell him what's up. And that's a big part of why he's successful. Having people be honest with you and tell you things and keep things in perspective for you that genuinely have your best interests at heart. Hey, dog, I wouldn't do that. Hey, you know, I'll use crypto. You see Dame out there pimping crypto during that bump? No, and there's a bunch of NBA players, both current and former. The FTX scandal down in Miami. Mm-hmm. Was it Sam Bankman-Fried and his whole deal? Go look at the list of current and former professional athletes. Shaq's on there. Brady's on there. Like, there are big names that were wrapped up in all this. And I don't say that's like, oh, look how great Dame is, but it's like, it shows you, like, if
just
you...
Just keeping things tight. It's, dude, I just watched three Godfather movies, man. I'm fully aware.
But, there's a real part of that. Yeah, if you don't, and again, you're not going to take, you know, one in the back of the head in the driver's seat, but, like, yeah, dog, like... You can commit career suicide by thinking your ass don't stink.
Well, I was about to ask this question, but I don't want to because I don't like him either. But, like, I'd rather have Tyreek Hill than this situation.
Oh, no.
I
no.
mean, Tyreek Hill as a human is pretty egregious. But as far as a player goes, I mean, Tyreek shows up.
For the most part.
And Ayuk, I don't know what his future looks like. No. Who's going to take a ride on this? It ain't going to be 4 years, 120 mil.
I don't think the Raiders are doing that. Because remember, the Raiders are one of those teams, and I was like, man, maybe I could talk myself into it.
Okay, so maybe Tennessee gives you a one-year deal for 13.
And that's the thing is like...
But New England ain't bringing you in. Denver's not bringing you in. The Colts ain't bringing you in. Philly's not bringing you in. I mean, the Lions, the Packers, the Bears, oh my, they're not bringing you in.
Look at the path that Stephon Diggs fell down.
Yep.
And it took him, and then he got injured. And it's like the thing is like Antonio Brown, a different kind of crazy, but that path, like, there's a reason why I love the Mike Evans and Larry Fitzgeralds of the world, the Dames of the world, the guys that are incredible.
Reggie Waynes, Isaac Bruce.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something to be said about having, certainly everybody wants this, and there's a certain amount of risk you could take on with certain guys. But also, this is where I give Shanahan a metric crap ton of credit. All of the crazy he's had to deal with both the injuries, you know, losing Bosa, losing Fred Warner, both for the season.
I mean, arguably your two best players on defense. I mean, Fred Warner is a top five player in the league.
If you told me he was the best defensive player in the league, I wouldn't. But, like, I would probably disagree. I'd be like, Myles Garrett.
If Myles Garrett's stats aren't all-time this year. I mean, I love Myles Garrett, but he's having an all-time year. You can say Fred Warner. Yeah,
Fred Warner is like, if you toss his name in the conversation, I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? Like,
especially what he does for the whole group.
Yes. And like, so what Shanahan has done managing both the injuries and the absolutely bat-ass craziness of Brandon Ayuk. Golf club.
Be interesting to watch, and we'll see how the Niners fare as they head down the stretch, and they just continually find ways to make it happen. The NFC West, it's a wild place. We'll have some conversations tomorrow about that Thursday night game. I don't know if I've ever seen a bigger Thursday night game than what's going on tomorrow. Hawks favored currently by 1.5 over the Rams. Meanwhile, the Niners just kind of hanging out, and they'll take on the Seahawks at the end of the year, so we'll see how that all plays out. When we come back, closing arguments to finish up the day, 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Meringue is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth.
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Closing Arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Some stuff to get to finish up here. The 49ers have had the second easiest schedule, so that might be why they are so under the radar. No big games. That comes in on the text line. Sure. This NFL season has been wild, though, so I don't – the strength of schedule is a weird thing. Like, the Packers lost to the Panthers, but now they could be in the playoffs. It's really hard to disseminate. But one thing that I do know, though, is I know the Jets are bad, I know the Titans are bad, and I know your Raiders are bad.
Yes.
Outside of that, like, the Falcons, they have players. They have players that can do stuff. The Giants are now bad because of injuries. The Commanders are now bad because of injuries, but I don't hold that against them. Cleveland has a bad offense, but they got an all-world defense. So I hear the strength of schedule argument. I truly do. And I just say this year, I don't know if I'm ready to get after it on that.
No.
Yeah.
I'm of the mind of injuries are a problem.
In what sense?
In the sense of like what it can do for teams and
it'll change everything.
Yeah. It's, you know, throw your hands up.
I mean, whether we were talking with Tyson Alger today or Danny Cannell day today, or whether I talked to the brand man off the air, or we talked to anybody else off the air or on the air when it talks to Oregon Ducks coming up against James Madison this weekend, the answer is just get the hell out and be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, assuming, and it's a big assumption because we're not there yet, assuming this receiving group can get back to a little bit of normalcy, this team is in an amazing spot health-wise.
Yes.
Amazing spot health-wise. Danny Cannell mentioned the D lineman for Indiana who's out. Like, everybody's got these kind of nicks and dings, or it's a big player out, or it's just questionable, or how long can they go? And the Ducks sit in a very, very great spot walking into a playoff game, and I think that's why if they're up by 3 scores in the third quarter, adios.
Yeah, pack them up and get out of there.
Pack them up and get out of there. Coming up on tomorrow's show, let's see, what do we got? What do we got? Blazers finally going to play a basketball game, those lazy bums. I've wrote this down. Can college football tell the NFL no?
Mm.
Ooh, because there's something that's kind of chapping my ass this
weekend. I'm about that.
We will have 10 toes down as we always do on a Thursday. And yeah, this big, we'll look at some playoff scenarios too in the NFL. And then there's this huge game between the Seahawks and the LA Rams. We'll kind of break down the game tomorrow, but I don't know the last time I saw a Thursday night football game with kind of this much on the line.
Well, you also
smart on them for doing the division game this late.
But primetime games this year, the midweek, the Thursday night special has mostly sucked.
I know. I was mentioning it on the YouTube chats the other day. I think somebody was saying how stoked they were for the game. And I just pray it's not the Thursday night curse of just, it doesn't matter who's playing. No. The game sucks.
It's short rest. It's short turnaround, short game plan, all those things.
And I don't think it will. I think there's just too much on the line for this game to be mediocre.
Mm.
As a diehard faithful, I want more of these segments. I love it. I hate living near the Seattle market. I also dread the thought of Rams, Seahawks, or Eagles winning a Super Bowl on our turf.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, I don't think you got to worry about the Eagles anymore. I might be fully out on them.
I mean, look, I'm out, but you can get me right back in real quick.
Also, some breaking news to end the show. Patrick Mahomes aims to be back by week one next year. Duh.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. We got on the plane to take off out of Baltimore as the news was breaking. This probably 75-year-old woman was like, "You say Patrick Mahomes?" I was like, "Yeah, he's out for the season." She was like, "Well, you know, you can come back from those pretty quick." And I was like, "Old lady knows ball?" Like, all right.
Closing Arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation, peace treaties, not wars. That'll do it for us. Duck Insider next. For Danny Meringue, that's Jeff Rust. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.